coming. The weather's not quite as nice out today as if we were to have the concert earlier in the week. But once again, my name's George Foley, and being here reminds me of when I was in high school at Ignatius on the west side, St. Ignatius, and often I would stop in the music department on the way back. So it's great to be in this location. So I'm going to be playing a variety of things for you today. Some ragtime, some jazz, some things that have words, some instrumentals, and even a little movie themes that he mentioned a little bit later. But just, and not you two, because you know, but somebody guess when that last tune was written, just in general.
1922.
Any other guesses?
1980.
Okay, it sounds like that, doesn't it? The funny thing about it is it's the tune that all the ones I'll play today, it's the one I've played the longest. It's not the newest tune. There'll be one more tune that's newer. But I wrote that in 1973. And the nice thing is that a lot of the tunes later are easier than that. So I can kind of rest easy now. But anyway, that was my first composition called Chinatown Rag. And I was a student at the music school settlement, and it's so funny because as I was waiting in the wings a few minutes ago, I was thinking back to when I was part of recitals at the settlement, and I'd get so nervous, and I'd be like, oh, but you know, once I'd written my own rags, my teachers would let me finish with those after playing Bach or Beethoven or whatever it was. So we started off with a little ragtime. And that's really my first rag sounds a lot like Scott Joplin, because at that time I was only playing Scott Joplin's rags. I went on to make three recordings with a lot of people's rags. So I discovered ragtime when I was 13. Did I say I was 13? It was 15 when I wrote that, in 1973. I discovered ragtime when I was 13, which is a great age, because that kept me off the streets for a while. Then a couple years later, I discovered Fats Waller. Anybody remember Fats Waller? Fats Waller is a natural step to go from ragtime to what they call stride piano, because you've still got the left hand moving a lot. But Fats Waller was born in 1904, so he was born right in the middle of the ragtime era, and came of age in the 1920s and 30s, in the 1930s to the 40s when he died at a very young age. He was super popular and better known as a comedian, really, and a singer. But he was a wonderful piano player and a songwriter, and I'd like to do a song for you that he wrote toward the end of his life that I think it wasn't a big hit or anything, but I've always loved it, and it's very typical of his style, called We Need a Little Love, That's All.
Gentle, you need a little love that
its charms again. It seems so strange, a need so simple could ever make our castles fall. Why do we break and tear our hearts out? That's 'cause we need a little love, that's all.
Waller's main area where he played, where it came from, was Harlem, and there was a lot going on in Harlem in the 1920s and 30s. One of his buddies didn't grow up in New York, but came from Washington, D.C., where his father had worked in the White House, moved from Washington to New York, and shortly thereafter met Fats Waller, and his name was Duke Ellington. And there's a lot of similarity between Duke Ellington's piano playing and Fats Waller's. It's also, much of it is in the stride style, although Ellington, as the years went on, got broader and really interesting what he did. Fats Waller, dying in 1943, didn't have a whole lot of chance to get a whole lot more modern than he was. But I'd like to do a little Duke Ellington medley for you. The first two tunes, Black Beauty and Mood Indigo, are from the 1920s repertoire of Duke Ellington. Now, Mood Indigo was a big hit, so just about any time you went to see Duke Ellington throughout the years up through the 70s, he would play that. And I'm going to end with a tune from 1937, which was written by the valve trombonist with Duke's band, Juan T. Zoll, which is called Caravan. You might know that too. So here's a little medley. Oh, I forgot to say, Black Beauty was dedicated to Florence Mills, who was a big star in the black musical theater at the time, and she died suddenly, and everybody was very upset. She had a huge funeral in Harlem. So. you. So that's a little slice of Ellington. There's a lot more to Ellington than that. I'm going to sing another song for you, which is right in between the era of Caravan, 1937, and those other tunes from the 20s. And it's really sort of one of the anthems of the Depression, of the Great Depression, which my parents lived through. And it was written by a guy named Jay Gorney, who really didn't have any other big hits. And the lyricist was a guy named Yip Harburg, E.Y. Harburg, who later went on to write the words with Harold Arlen, wrote Wizard of Oz. I did a show recently at a synagogue on Jewish American songwriters. And just to double check on a lot of the people, I went to Wikipedia. And it talked about how Ira Gershwin, George Gershwin's brother, introduced Yip Harburg to Jay Gorney. And they said, you know, they had a wonderful collaboration until Yip ran off with Jay Gorney's wife. That sort of put a damper on it. Anyway, they got married after that. But it's you'll probably recognize this song, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? Thank you. Let's go back and do another ragtime tune, except this one isn't a trick. This really was written back in the ragtime era. This is called Anoma, which I gather was a woman's name. But it's subtitled A New York Rag, and the guy who wrote it was an African-American named Ford Dabney. Ford Dabney was one of the pillars of the New York black music scene going back very early. This rag is from 1910. And I first heard this on a piano roll. And I was happy years later to get the sheet music to it, because it's really fun to play. And it's a little bit different than, say, some of the Scott Joplin kind of rags. The ragtime had different styles. There's different styles of ragtime throughout the years and also throughout the different regions of the country. And often New York was a little bit more rhythmic and not quite as melodic. I think if you tried to sing or hum the melody to the first part, you might have a little trouble. But I love it. It's called Anoma. That I don't want to think about what I'm doing halfway through. It'll mess me up. Just keep barreling on through. So we're going to move up to the 1940s now. We'll see how we can get from 1910 to 1940, whatever. Bill, you probably know this. When did Round Midnight come out?
First recording?
Yeah. The Cootie Williams Band, right?
647.
Okay. I wasn't sure. The next person we're going to talk about, believe it or not, really comes to a certain degree out of the Harlem tradition, although he doesn't always sound like it. Thelonious Monk. Anybody know Thelonious Monk here? All right. I'm going to do a little medley of a couple tunes by Thelonious. He lived in Harlem part of his life, very close to where some of the stride piano players played. So we could just walk and hear them all the time. And it's funny, I was thinking about what to say about Thelonious today. And I just talked to my old friend Dennis the other day, and he and I have known each other since age 9. And we used to collect stamps together. And we also would play Monopoly or Risk or something. And it was funny, if we were at my house, we might have the band and Crosby, Stills, and Nash or whatever. I was just barely starting to take piano lessons at that time. Didn't know about ragtime. But if we were at his house, we would listen to Frank Zappa and Thelonious Monk playing solo piano. And you know, when next time I talk to him, I'll have to ask him, where'd that come from? How did you know about Thelonious Monk at age 9? But the funny thing is that I actually was hearing songs at age 9 that I didn't learn till many years later. A lot of the standards, like Body and Soul, and one in particular, I Surrender Dear. But he's going like... Anyway, I can't do it very well, but very dissonant and throwing a lot of notes right next to each other. But Thelonious, sometimes when he's doing the solo piano thing in particular, we'll start going into this stride thing, you know. But it's also goes along with his more modern tendencies. He was one of the most important figures in the beginning of bebop, along with Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie. But still brought some of that older stuff in it, and I guess that's one of the reasons I like him. Very eccentric, great composer, and I'm going to start off with Round Midnight, which is probably his best-known song. People know it more through his own recordings or more modern recordings, but the original recording was done by the Cootie Williams Band, and Cootie Williams had played with people like Benny Goodman and Duke Ellington. At that particular point, Thelonious Monk was the piano player in the band, and he really hadn't formed his own style, but he was already writing. So we're going to start off with Round Midnight, then we're going to do a tune that I was inspired to learn because of a stride record by a guy named Joe Turner, and he had his own version of this, and it's called Well You Needn't. So here's a little Thelonious Monk medley. Thank you. kind of fun to take chances. Not everything you do comes out perfect, but if you don't take chances, it's kind of boring. It's sort of like... What's that? Good. Oh, I'm sorry. Sheet music?
Yeah.
They do have transcriptions, I believe. I have a whole list of things I want to learn by him, and sometimes he's kind of hard to get inside of, you know.
Yeah, right.
I know he uses a lot of six. But you can ask Bill or Mike about that.
We have transcriptions of walking. We also have brand new biography.
Ah, okay. So, what do we have next? Oh, I'm going to sing you another song. All right. Fats Waller recorded hundreds of songs, and he was one of RCA Victor's best-selling artists. And I think one of the great things about him, probably from the point of view of the record company, was that he could come in and do six tunes. They would hand him the sheet music. He would tell the guys in the band how they're going to run it down, and they would probably get most of them on a first take and they'd be perfect. So, just amazing. But to tell you the truth, Fats had to record a lot of crap. But he made the best of it. There are songs like Eep, Ipe, I Want a Piece of Pie, Us on a Bus, which are just awful songs. But what he does with them is wonderful. And he also did a lot of great songs, including things he wrote. Honeysuckle Rose, Ain't Misbehavin'. So I would say probably this song is in between those two polarities. Bill Anderson came out to hear me at my Tuesday gig and asked me to do some Fats Waller, and I just did a bunch in a row and sang a bunch in it. So I thought it'd be kind of fun. I don't know if I've ever done this one in an actual concert. But it was probably one of the first recordings I got by Fats. That's just typical of his type of thing. He didn't write it, but it's called Believe It, Beloved. And I'm unfortunately not really as animated as he is. But if he were here, he'd be making all these crazy faces and, you know, leering at you. But you have to imagine some of that. But anyway, Believe It, Beloved, which I think is from sometime in the 1930s. Together, it's much easier to plan for 2 hours than one. So it's like, oh, I want to play that too, or I want to demonstrate this. And it's like, I have to tell myself, don't try to do too much. So pick out a few composers. And so Fats is always a great guy to do. Fats, aside from being a well-known recording artist and raconteur, had a sensitive side to him, which you didn't get a chance to see very often, but people who knew him and heard him play informally, talk about this. And I think one of the few tunes he wrote, one of the few recordings that he made that shows that, is a thing called Clothesline Ballet. Now, one of the people who used to come to rent parties in Harlem, people were having trouble getting their rent together, so you would make a bunch of food, have a bunch of bootleg booze, and have Fats Waller and people like that come play the piano, and then you charge maybe $1 at the door, and there'd be your rent. One of the people that would come down to the rent parties was George Gershwin from Brooklyn. George later on was very, very upfront about all the people that he learned things from. But I can just imagine, you know, Fats and James P. Johnson and the other Stride guys, you know, this guy comes in, George Gershwin, and he's writing songs like we are, that's great. And all of a sudden he's writing like Rhapsody in Blue, a Concerto in F. And I can sort of see in a way, because it's using a lot of the same type material that they're doing, and I can imagine that they're thinking, well, where does he get off? A little bit. So I think this is Fats' rib back at that whole concept, because it's called Clothesline Ballet. Recorded in 1934.
Thank you.
Thank you. Last night, as part of the Tri-C Jazz Fest, they had a big Henry Mancini concert. And I thought I would play a Henry Mancini medley. When I was first starting to try to play other things than classical music and trying to improvise, two of the things that appealed to me the most was the music on the Charlie Brown cartoon things on TV, and which was by a jazz pianist, and the Henry Mancini music. I'm going to do a medley of a few tunes. I'm going to start off with a tune called Bird Brain, which is either from a TV show or a movie, I forget. But I learned it off a wonderful record called Quincy Jones Explores the Music of Henry Mancini. You would think these guys would be competing with each other, but really Quincy Jones did an homage to Mancini. It's wonderful. It's got arrangements of all kinds of things on there. But this is my favorite thing on the record, and I'm partial to waltzes myself anyway. So we're going to start off with Bird Brain, kind of a jazz waltz, and the original recording has the melody played on flute by Roland Kirk, if any of you know him. And then I'm going to do the Pink Panther, which I learned when I was 11, and I still enjoy, and people still like. I mean, even kids, they're more familiar with the newer incarnations of that. And then from a movie called Hatari, The Baby Elephant Walk. So a little Mancini, for those of you who didn't, like me, who didn't make it to the concert last night. Having a little trouble here. I need to swallow some of this. Okay, here we go. Thank you. Dinah, yeah. When I first heard Fats Waller, one of the first things I did was I went to the keyboard and I tried to figure out what the heck he was doing. And I knew the left hand was doing similar to Joplin. But I hadn't discovered one of the main ingredients. It wasn't this, it wasn't octaves. It wasn't, it was. It's called tenths, because you get an octave plus two. And actually, I had nobody to teach me that. I didn't know it, but I hit it by accident one time. And I'm like, that's what he's doing. So this was the first tune that I started learning off of one of Fats's records. I really liked the way he did it. Dinah is a song from the 1920s. A lot of the hit songs of the 1930s were from the 20s. My copy of the original music has Rudy Valley on the cover. I think Fats was a much more interesting and better singer than Rudy Valley, but Rudy Valley had a heck of a career and probably made more money. I'm going to throw in a little bit of a Fats piano composition. Probably his most famous piano tune is called Handful of Keys, which is based on the scale. So it just happens to fit right in there with Dinah. So here we go. Tune then, probably, I guess. Mm-hmm. I would like to thank everybody for coming. I should let you know where I'm playing. I have two regular gigs, both of which are a lot of fun, but very different. Tuesdays, I play at a place in Cleveland Heights called Jimmy O'Neill's Pub, which is right near the Cedar Lee Theater on Lee Road. And that's a jam session situation. I play with a bass player, and then all kinds of people come up and sit in, horn players, singers. And Fridays, I'm at a place called Via Van Aken at Van Aken in Warrensville. I think it's in Shaker Heights. And that, I'm at the piano bar there. And you can come sit right at the piano and ask me for requests or whatever. If you need to know more about that, my website is georgefoleypiano.com. Once again, georgefoleypiano.com. If you look up georgefoley.com, I think a guy in Texas is going to try to sell you some aluminum siding. But anyway, thanks for coming. And I'm going to finish up with a tune from the 1940s or 50s, Lady Bird? 40s or 50s? 40s?
47.
Okay, 47. Bill is our resident bebop expert here. By a guy named Tad Dameron, who was from Cleveland and became one of the best arrangers and composers in modern jazz. I know people who knew his brother, Caesar. Caesar Dameron was a very important figure in Cleveland. He operated some after-hours joints. So when you know, it was a lot of fun to go there, I guess, late at night. Also, he was the head of the Black Musicians Union, and some people said that he was a better instrumentalist than Tad. Tad played piano. I don't know. But we're going to end up with Lady Bird. Thanks so much for coming. Thank you.